This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
8:35 in the morning. You're listening to The Morning Run on Monday, the 21st of March. I'm Shazana Mukhtar, together with Wang Xiaoning and Tan Chen Li. We're turning our attention to developments over the weekend where the UMNO General Assembly was held. After its loss in GE14, the UMNO GA may have lost some of its luster, resulting in fewer delegates and less prestige and grandeur compared to previously. But fast forward many years later, the mood has lifted tremendously following several successful state elections and the party's return to government through Prime Minister Datuk Sri Ismail Sabri, who is the UMNO Vice President.
And on the back of these developments, the calls for an early GE15 is now louder than ever. According to Datuk Sri Ismail, UMNO's top five leaders will discuss the dissolution of parliament to pave the way for GE15. But party president Dato' Sri Zahid Mahamidi said that there will be no pressure for Ismail to raise the issue in cabinet, and any decision by the cabinet will be respected by the party leadership.
However, factions like UMNO Youth are eager in their resolve for fresh mandate from the people, with Youth Chief Dato' Ashraf Suzuki calling for GE15 to be held as soon as possible. But how united is the party should GE15 be called? And what of the party elections, which have already been postponed several times already?
So for some thoughts on this, we have with us the UMNO Youth Chief himself, Dr. Ashraf Wajdi Dusuki, to help us better understand the thinking within the party. Dato' Ashraf, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us. So let's start off by looking at the party as a whole on the back of the UMNO General Assembly. How united is the party at the moment? Are the days of internal factionalism and infighting, is that over?
Yeah, assalamu alaikum and very good morning. As you know, UMNO is the largest political party in Malaysia with more than 3 million members. Obviously, different opinions and groups are inevitable. Of course, we embrace the diversity, but we also the oldest and face many obstacles and crises in the past. Therefore, we know how to overcome and manage the downside of it. One thing I can say here, post-General Assembly of UMNO, despite the differences, we now understand and manage to handle them internally. And when time comes for a single objective of winning the war, the ultimate war, which is the general election, GE15, we will definitely fall in line and work together to achieve it. There has always been UMNO's discipline. And we can see that after the General Assembly, the mood and the sentiment obviously are very much fresh, and everyone are eager to focus on the unity in order for us to face the general election.
Okay, Dato, because I noticed an interesting use of words, fall in line, which you just said a minute ago. What does this suggest, though? I mean, shouldn't then party elections be held earlier rather than sooner then to resolve this fall in line situation?
We have UMNO has experienced party elections before, and that's why if you notice, in the past, most of the time our party election will only be held after general election. That has always been the practice. Why? Because obviously, based on our experience, party election will definitely cause some disunity amongst the members, and therefore we cannot afford to have the situation where we are facing the General Assembly just around the corner while our members are very much disintegrated and disunited.
Okay, but Dato, this is unusual times, right? Because it's also first time in history that the Prime Minister of Malaysia is not a president of UMNO. So does it make better sense to find out exactly who should be the president of UMNO before we move into GE15?
That's why if you look at the debate and the discourse throughout the General Assembly, we try to set the mind of the members, because this is the first time, as you correctly mentioned, that we are facing the situation whereby the leader of the country and the leader of the party are two different entities or two different personalities. And this is not something which is strange in other parts of the world. Our neighbor country, Indonesia, Megawati is the leader of the party, while Jokowi is the leader of the government, of the country. So based on this experience, perhaps UMNO can move forward by having this kind of model whereby the party is led by someone else and the country is led by another individual. The most important thing, how to make sure the bridge between the two, the communication, will remain stable. And most importantly, whatever the party decides and whatever the party decision will be respected by the leader of the country, especially the Prime Minister.
In your opening speech, you pitched transformation and cleansing of the party. How would this be achieved, and would it be through party elections?
When I mentioned about the three transformation, actually we are discussing about the need to protect the people's mandate. What we have experienced after May 2018, the collapse of Barisan Nasional. Initially, it happened in very there was a very smooth transition. There's no downside of our democracy. But after 22 months, obviously we have seen how the people's mandate are being abused. Langkah Sheraton, for example, is one example that lead the country to have a very unstable political situation.
May I just interject? Yeah. Wouldn't you say that UMNO was one of those parties that then abused the mandate of the people through Langkah Sheraton?
Yeah, remember, at that time, UMNO was very firm that we need to return the mandate to the people, because we cannot have a government that that is actually from backdoor. So, but remember, at that time, when the whole party member of parliament decisively sent the message or presented the decision to Yang di-Pertuan Agong, but at that time, the ruler, the royal, feels that the situation and the condition of the country at that moment of time is not conducive for us to have a general election due to the beginning of a pandemic. That's why we tolerate and we form a government, but with a condition that the government is not for long. It's just a temporary government, just to stabilize the situation. And when the situation is already stabilized, and we need to return the mandate to the people, because we cannot actually remain as a government that that is formed without the mandate of the people.
So, Dato', you're suggesting here that your preference is for GE15 to be called sooner rather than later, right, from the sounds of it?
Yes, of course, because we cannot remain like what we have today. We want the country to be more stabilized. We want to attract investors from outside. We want to improve our economic condition. How can we improve when the political situation are not stable? When within the government, the pressure from within and outside is still real. And the pressing buttons by the statement by the political parties within the government, and prejudices that still entrenched within the cabinet members. So this itself does not actually jive well to the to bring the confidence level of investors to invest in our country.
I think I would agree with you, Dato'. The political instability is not good for the investment climate of Malaysia. I would like to ask you, though, back in 2018, during the last GE, a sizable segment of the Malaysian population did elect to did not vote for UMNO. They indicated that they wanted change. I want to ask, has UMNO changed in the past 4 years? Has it actually reformed itself as it said that it would after GE14?
Alhamdulillah, I think I can say for sure in the UMNO youth, for example, the 22 months of becoming an opposition, actually, we did a lot of muhasabah and soul searching, what went wrong. And of course, at the end of the day, we have to really realize that the people is our utmost objective and our utmost priority. Therefore, we need to change ourselves. Perhaps during our reign of power, we were very arrogant to a certain extent. We undermine the voice of the majority. We were not perfect as a human being, but most importantly, we have to move forward because the country needs us, the people needs us, because the experience that we have, the track record in managing the country, in managing the economy, is very important. So we need to come back, but come back with fresh faces. With a clear ideology that we need to eradicate all the negativities within the parties.
Okay, so Datuk, just very quickly, the impediment appears to be for GE15. One impediment is the MOU that it currently holds between your government, the government, and Pakatan Harapan, which expires in July. Are you against signing another MOU or even against the current MOU?
We have already made our decision at the General Assembly. If you notice that the sentiment of the General Assembly say that we have to honour the MOU that was signed by the government led by UMNO leader, the Prime Minister is UMNO, the Vice President of UMNO. But we are not really in support of continuing another set of MOU because we talk about pandemic. Now we already in the beginning of endemic. So if you say that we need to only have general election after COVID-19 settled down, I don't think COVID-19 will be totally alleviated until 2025 or even beyond that, as what WHO mentioned. But most importantly, democracy must be honored, and most importantly, the mandate of the people must be given back to them.
Datuk Ashraf, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That was Datuk Dr. Ashraf Wajdi Dusuki, the youth chief of UMNO, giving us his take on the outcome of the UMNO General Assembly, mentioning a few interesting developments there regarding the MOU and also when GE15 should be held. He's of the view that it should be sooner rather than later to return the mandate back to the people. We'll be watching developments very closely moving forward. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.